Helen Stone, Reel 7. Yes, you know, after this separation, and you both had obviously been through so much, what did your husband look like to begin with after his... what did he seem after his experience?
Well, don't forget, it was quite a long time he was in England. So, and people looked after him, really. He had enough food. And then he worked. He was early one already. Yes.
Was he, did you, you know, exchange stories about your experience? Did you talk a lot about it?
Not in the beginning. That came later. Stories, you know. In the beginning we had, first of all, I got pregnant straight away. And I couldn't, I started going to school. But the school was, well, I had to learn English. But the school was in somewhere off Oxford, Texas. And I was sick in the bus, I couldn't go, so I had two lessons. But I had a brilliant idea how to learn English. I was going every day to the cinema. I love cinema. I still love it. I'm not as, I was every day from 2 to 6 in the cinema. The same film, as long as I listened. There was no television then. The radio was on always at home, so that I listened to it. People told me to read fairy stories with a dictionary. That was boring. So that I told you that for my matriculation, we had to know 60 books really like by heart. It didn't have to be all Polish authors. And I love Goldsworthy. And all his books I read. And I knew them well because I really knew them well. So I didn't. I had a dictionary next to me. I still have the same dictionary. That's a dictionary I use when I came to England. Yes, and I have it always here in the kitchen. But my spelling is terrible. Because I never learned properly. But I read the books. And I didn't need the dictionary anymore, so I didn't understand every word. But after the first word, the second was easier, the third was even easier. And that's how I learned English. I never learned because it's too late now. My spelling is very bad. But, what else? I had my first son, after the first year. I got pregnant in the third month I was here, or the second month. So, you see, I wasn't so sure I will be able to have children. So, it was anyway. Lucky that I could. And that's all. Now we are a mother.
And did you, were you able to trace your, all of the family members and what had happened to them?
Yes. So it was easy. First of all, I was in practice Israel, but there was no Israel still. It was still Mr. Bevin. You know what he did. A ship full of people going to Israel to send back to Germany. And who can do a thing like that? Who can do a thing like that? Send back to Germany. The Exodus. No, I was in contact with Israel, and whoever was alive from my family, they were in Israel. Not many, yes, they were. And also I had a few friends from my school, they are in Israel. And then I had in America and Australia, and, well, Hitler did his job. We are all over. But he didn't finish his job. That's amazing.
Well, when your family went to what is now Israel, would it have been Palestine then, or would it have been when Israel was founded?
Israel was founded, because my brother went, I see that Israel was founded of already 48. He came, I think, a year later, from Poland. He went from wherever he was liberated, he went back to Poland, like I wanted to go back to Poland. He was a solicitor, mm-hmm. And he couldn't be a solicitor in Israel, because we have got, in Poland, Napoleonic law. It's completely different. Well, completely, it's different. And in Israel, it's English law. so he would have to study in another career as he didn't want to, so, but he had a very good job.
Have you ever returned to Poland? You and your husband?
No, not my husband. Not my husband. We planned to go. My family from America was going, and we planned that the whole family, all of us that are abroad, will go together to Poland. Then my husband got, he didn't feel well when they went, so we couldn't go. And a year later, that means now 23, over 22 years, my brother got very sick in Israel. So we went to Israel, and after about a week, my husband got had a heart attack. It was the third one the year before in London. And he went to hospital, so I had them both in hospital, my brother and my husband. My brother had cancer, unfortunately. And my husband got much better, and we were already ready to go home. In 4 days' time, I was ready for my son. But we wanted to go, but no, but we were ready, we had tickets ready to go home. And in the morning when I went to the hospital to collect him, I was making breakfast for him, and he had another attack. And Jews are not allowed to postpone a wedding. I never knew about it. I never knew about it. I was doing whatever I could in Israel. I thought, even my cousin, the one that his father was the judge, he arranged everything in Israel. They wanted me to leave my husband in Israel. The people said, I said, no. My children are in London. They want to go to the cemetery, and Israel is to come. I am in Israel at least once a year. But, so we brought him here. And 2 days later was the wedding. We are not allowed to postpone the wedding. The orchestra was cancelled, but it was hard.
When you were in the camps, did you ever, you were saying, you know, you had a religious home and upbringing, did you still believe in God?
No. I had a religious upbringing, but I've never been religious. Now I'm sorry for things that I said to my father, but I've never been religious. And to believe in God, it's a difficult question. Funny enough, I was going to Israel. On the way, next to me was sitting a very religious man that said, Lubavitcher, maybe you heard about the Lubavitcher. They are very religious and extremely intelligent men. And we really discussed many things. And then somehow, I don't know, he said something about God, and I didn't answer. And then he stopped, he said, well, I shouldn't ask you that. You were in Auschwitz. It was very delicate of him. It's hard to believe in God if you went to Auschwitz. Where was he? Where was he? Why did his people, his chosen people? We used to say, why didn't he choose somebody else? But I am very Jewish. And I'm very proud to be Jewish, but I'm not religious. But if you are honest, if you are an honest person, I don't think I could ever be religious. Why do I live and my father would give so much good to other people? He didn't even have a chance to live straight to the task. So where was he? And millions like my father. Better Jews than I am. It's hard to believe. But I found it very nice of that Lubavitcher that he stopped. He said, I shouldn't talk with you. He didn't try to persuade me or do anything more. Extremely clever man. I found him very, very clever.
Have you had long-term physical effects from your time in the camps?
I think, look, now it's definitely my age, but hip or arthritis or things like that, the small wonders that if you were in the winter, half naked in the snow, working, carrying stones to and fro, so how can you be? For instance, I had in England chilblains. Why? Because I had them in Auschwitz. But you can't get chilblains in England. You don't have, it's not cold enough here, the chilblains. Now it's just age.
Have there been other effects, do you think, though, on your life? You know, has it affected the way you live or relate to people? It seems from what you were saying in the camp, you had a lot of friendship and help, didn't you? Yeah, you must have.
Yes, I will never, never forget it. I'll never forget it. And it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling that people help you. It's luck. It's a lot of luck. That why did she like me? As I said, I never gave her anything. Because usually they used to get from prisoners that smuggled some jewelry. Not that she would wear the jewelry, but she could buy cigarettes because they smoked. I never smoked those times. I never did, so I didn't miss it. But no, I really was helped a lot. Even now, I have some people that are really. Even my panel doctor, they say they have no title, but he's really good to me. It was a few months ago when I had vertigo all of a sudden. Vertigo. You call it. No, you call it vertigo. I call it vertigo. Latin is vertigo. And. So he arranged that I should go to hospital because I'm on my own. And I fell down, and he was afraid that I came here. So, it's luck. It's luck.
You had this help and cooperation in the camps. You must have seen a lot of brutality and death as well.
Yeah.
Does that haunt you at all? You know,
it does, but I'm trying not to think about it. Even as you said, that lily that hit me and I gave her, it makes me feel good. Because it wasn't her fault. As I said, that was a kindergarten. Auschwitz. She came to Auschwitz, she was 12 or 11. So, you know, I think people, good people, is a good thing. Make you feel good. Make you feel good.
Yes, because I suppose in the camp you were at the extremes, weren't you, of human existence.
Exactly.
Is that a test, did you find, for people?
It is a test. It is a test. I believe in it, that I'm a Libra. And I always try to understand why, if somebody did something wrong, I always try to understand why she did it. I wouldn't have talked about the gypsy girl that really did a lot of wrong. Because with six girls, that we survived, that was a miracle. But I can't blame her. I can't blame her. She was never taught better. That's it. Micah, an intelligent girl. And I told her, I warned her beforehand, don't do it, because she'll be shot in 5 minutes. I would blame her, but I still didn't tell the medicines about it. Maybe she'll get better and she'll be free. She won't do stupid things like that.
Have you ever returned to Poland there?
Once. I told you, I had twice tickets and a hotel already, and I cancelled. Because I had a friend of mine was there, and he had something unpleasantness about anti-Semitism. So I said, now why should I go there and be annoyed about it? No. But when they did it in Israel, you see, all my school decided to go to Poland. And they phoned me, my friend, would you like to join us? I said, oh yes, now yes. And I did go. And I'm pleased I did. One thing I did, maybe I shouldn't, but I don't think I could have not done it. I went to my house where I lived. And that was very painful. First of all, she wouldn't let me in, the owner of the house. But we had got a mill not far away. So when my brother was in Poland after the war, he hired an administrator. So I went to him, that's about 2 minutes walk, and told him I wanted to see the flat I lived in. She wouldn't let me in, so he came straight with me. He told her that. And I remember the first room was my father's room, and he had a lot of books, one wall of my fingers in there. First of all, it was high, I believe. Really, you know, the Talmud, there was a huge cross of the Virgin Mary. So it hit me. But then I said, listen, you don't live there anymore. They are Catholics, they are taken. They can have it. It's theirs now. But I didn't, then there was one third of the flat. The other two thirds, she wanted also to take me, but I couldn't. I was somehow weeping inside. The man, the administrator, just took me on the arm and he said, this is not, let's go. Ready now. And I thought, well, it will go after 2 months when I went in England, it will go. It didn't. It holds me, that one. But then, if I wouldn't have gone to my flat, I would be very, why didn't you go to your flat? So now I just, good, I did go. And finish, I have nothing to do with Poland. And of course, we went to school, and I told you, the cardinal came to visit us. And now I'm glad that I have been. Because, like here, I go to my husband's grave quite often. And that's the grave of all my family, Auschwitz. I had to go there.
Yes, what was it like returning to Auschwitz?
You know, you come, first of all, you come to Auschwitz proper, to the 5-star hotel. And I told the guide, why don't you start from Birkenau, like we did? But they didn't bring us to Auschwitz, they brought us to Birkenau. And it's a huge difference. It's haunted Birkenau. Not here. But they brought us here. And then they were showing a film. I bought it, by the way. It was called Survivors. And one day, I don't know why, I went out and I put it on the video. And I came home and I put it on. And it's me, in Auschwitz. The Germans must have done that film. And the Russians have it now. And the Russians gave it to the English to show it on television. So I saw that. Everybody recognized me. They all called, hello, hello, look at you. I look terrible. But I had already so much hair. You can see it's standing here, but why am I talking about it?
How amazing that you saw a film of yourself as you were in Auschwitz.
Only about Auschwitz, but I saw myself on the bridge, on the bed.
Yes, that must have been taken by Germans.
That must have been taken by Germans, and the Russians must have taken it, because how did the English get it? The Russians came to Auschwitz, yes, they got it. And they were made. Either they led it to England or they made copies. And then they took us to Birkenau. Also the guide was hopeless. Because I could see grass there. You know, Birkenau is birches. You know, birch, the tree. You didn't see one tree there. There was not one tree. There is full of birches now. Full because it's 50 years. And then there's grass outside my block. There was never grass, there was sand. So the stupid guy, she said, well, if it would be grass, you would have freshed it up. You would have not eaten it up, but freshed it up, which was So I've been there. I've seen the ruined crematorium next to my dog. Yes, and so it, but I don't want to go back there.
Do you think it's a good idea to have places like Auschwitz sort of kept as museums, yes, or memorials?
Yes.
But can one ever, do you think, really understand unless one has gone through it?
No, unless you would be not normal. There was a very, I told you the case against Bering. There was a solicitor and he said a very clever sentence, but I can't repeat it properly, that to understand Auschwitz, you have to be not quite normal. Because a normal person will never understand. But he said it better English, and it really moved me, that sentence, and it was so true. You cannot explain it. A sister cannot explain it to her own sister. He said it very clever. He said something that you, if you are normal, you cannot.
How about your children? You have two sons. How do they relate to you? After all, both there.
Mystery to me. They were, when I said they did the tape about Bering, I didn't even know they did it. And a few years later, they told me that they had a tape. I said, when did you do it? When you were watching that we were doing it. I didn't know they did. But they don't like if I talk about them. They don't like it. I can feel it. I really don't know. There are different people told me different things, but I still can't understand it. Because when the children of my friends, Jillian, she always, whenever she comes, she wants to know something about it. But she married. The last few years she was always pregnant. And I said, when you finish, when I can't talk to you about it when you're pregnant. But why my boys know? Funny enough, my daughters-in-law, rather, not my boys.
And would that have been the same with your husband? That they didn't speak to your husband too
about it? They didn't. The same as with me. The same as with me. And I had, for instance, my cousin's daughter. She's working a lot for me. She really spent a lot of time working for the Holocaust in America. And not my boys. There must be a reason for it. There must be a reason for it. But let them be. Let them be. Let them be happy. Let them not know about it. But they know. They know. They know a lot. But they don't like to hear it from me.
Well, Helen, thank you very much indeed for telling me
You're
about
welcome.
Your Holocaust experiences.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.